So friends, our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. It's a relatively new interpretation and just tries to modernize the words. It, per the request of a congregant, I'm now sending out the verse that will be read in church the week before in our weekly mailing. So if you're interested in getting a leg up on the minister, so you can ask a lot of educated questions about the sermon afterwards, please feel free to read that, do a little Bible study. It would be a blessing. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." They departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please join me in the spirit of prayer? Holy God, we pray this morning that your word might speak both through my words and in spite of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What?
No, they did not. Huh. I guess they really did. Perhaps you, like me, have found yourself running through an inner monologue such as this. Perhaps you, like me, went to check up on a friend of yours from high school. Well, not really a friend at this point. Really more of a distant acquaintance. Well, to tell the truth, really, you never really liked this friend in the first place. But you do like to check up on them from time to time. And you like to check up on them either to assure yourself that you're doing better in life than they are, or because you're in some sort of perverse mood and want to expose yourself to their views of the world, which being entirely contrary to your own makes them twisted and backwards and gets you all riled up. And of course, you weren't planning on checking up with this friend by calling them on the phone or by sending them a letter or an email or even a text message. You know, you weren't planning on actually interacting with them. Rather, you were going to check up on this friend of yours by creeping around their Facebook profile, seeing what kind of things they've been posting on their timeline, seeing what kind of pictures they've been tagged in, seeing what kind of pages that they've been liking. But when you went to click on their Facebook page, you are faced with a cold, hard, and startling truth. They had disconnected your two profiles, preventing your voyeuristic little tour from even taking place. Yes, that's right. They had unfriended you. What? No, they didn't. Huh. I guess they really did. In today's passage from Mark, we come upon the apostles returning to Jesus and telling him about the ministry they've been doing since they've been apart. Mark writes that their meeting took place in a place so busy and so hectic with the coming and going of followers eager to receive Jesus' healing and to hear his teaching that Jesus and the apostles didn't even have time to sit down and break bread together. Jesus invites the apostles to go away with him to a secluded place and to rest a while. So off they go in a boat destined for a certain deserted location. But rest was not in store for Jesus and the apostles on this day, because they were spotted as they were leaving in their little boat, and throngs of people from all different cities ran ahead of them and met them as their boat landed on the opposite shore. The apostles longed for a space of seclusion and rest, was no longer secluded, and was no longer restful. You can just imagine them looking out over the bow of their boat, their bubbles bursting as they realized that there would be no power naps for them in their near future. But Jesus, we're told, was moved with compassion by this great crowd of people. He saw them not as a nuisance, but as sheep without a shepherd. And so, moved with compassion, Jesus set aside his tiredness, he set aside his hunger, and he immediately took to teaching them once again. So unlike other teachings that we read over the past week in the Gospel of Mark, there is no tidy moral lesson wrapped up in today's passage. Rather, it is just a simple recounting of something Jesus and his apostles did at one time. So is there a lesson to be learned in this thing that Jesus happened to do one day? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think there is a little something that we might be able to learn. Jesus recognized that the crowds that were constantly vying for his attention and vying for his engagement were taking a physical, mental, and spiritual toll on him. Honoring his need for rest, Jesus pulled away from the crowds that he himself might be renewed and refreshed. Though downtime was not to be had at this particular moment in time, we're told that Jesus made a conscious decision to re-engage with the crowd. You know that the scriptures did not say that Jesus re-engaged the crowd because he was uncomfortable being by himself. They did not say that he re-engaged them because he was bored, because he was procrastinating from other work that he had to do. He did not re-engage them because he had nothing better to do with his time, or because he wanted to compare himself with an old classmate of his that happened to be on the shore. No, Jesus' choice to re-engage the crowd instead came from a feeling of compassion that he had toward them. Only after Jesus was moved by compassion, only after he felt love in his heart toward the people on the shore, only then did he end his rest and start interacting with them once again. So this morning I want to ask ourselves, what if we applied the same ethic of engagement to our own lives? Thanks to the internet and the endless number of social media sites that are out there, crowds of people are able to swarm around us at all hours of the day and night if we let them. We, like Jesus and the apostles, find that the places we once went to for seclusion and rest are secluded and restful no longer. Quiet parks, our own living rooms, our own bedrooms even, offer no respite from the crowd. Through the power of the internet, we are totally connected to great crowds whenever, wherever we are. And just like Jesus, interacting with these crowds take their toll on us. Who doesn't have a friend or relative whose online postings make our blood boil? Who doesn't have an online connection who is a veritable black hole of emotional neediness? Who doesn't have a Facebook friend whose stream of pictures depicting a near fairy tale life makes us more than a little bit envious? These connections, these crowds, they take their toll on our spirits. But what if we took a cue from Jesus this morning and we started to disengage from these crowds that constantly swarm around us? What if we were to sift through our many connections, unfriend some folks on Facebook, unfollow some folks on Twitter, unlink from some friends on LinkedIn, disconnect from folks on Flickr and Google Plus and Instagram and Kick and MySpace and Pinterest and Snapchat and Spotify and StumbleUpon and Tumblr and Yik Yak and YouTube, just to name a few of the sites that are constantly vying for our attention? What if we were to disengage from the crowds on these platforms and then make our new gold standard for re-engaging them a real and true feeling of love and compassion toward them in our hearts? If we really were to do this, if we really were to be so bold and so countercultural, our inner monologues might just begin to sound like this. What? No, they did not. Huh. I guess they really did. Amen.